Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Stocks are falling around the world as China announces plans to impose a national security law on Hong Kong.
China is pledging to implement the first phase of its trade deal with the U.S.
And historically low travel is expected this Memorial Day weekend.
President Trump says the CDC plans to put out guidance for reopening churches as the pandemic continues, plus a sharp drop in New Jersey hospitalizations. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, the battle line still drawn between baseball and the union, and more friction between the Jets and star safety Jamal Adams over his contract.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com.
And futures are falling this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points. Dow futures down 138. NASDAQ futures down 64. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. The FTSE 100 is down 1.3%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 5.5%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 0.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 5.7%. On $1.92 at $32.01 a barrel. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. The drop in equities comes on news out of Asia. China announced plans to impose a national security law on Hong Kong. Bloomberg's Ian Barlow begins our global team coverage out of Hong Kong.
China is making dramatic moves to impose national security laws in Hong Kong, a development that has alarmed pro-democracy forces in the city and prompted U.S. lawmakers to propose sanctions. Chinese officials have said the law is necessary because of the city's violent protests over the past year. Chinese officials also said they acted because Hong Kong lawmakers have failed to pass national security legislation that is mandated in the city's constitution. The controversial move to impose a national security law could make it easier for the government to curtail dissent, street protests, and freedom of speech, and are almost certainly bound to prompt more unrest in the former British colony. In Hong Kong, Ian Marlowe, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ian, thank you. The news led to a sell-off in Asia. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Hong Kong index plunged the most since October 2008, while the Hang Seng had its biggest drop in 5 years, with property stocks leading the declines, an index of real estate companies slumping 8%. The Hong Kong dollar weakened the most in 6 weeks, and the three-month HIBOR rose by 23 basis points, the most since October 2008. On the mainland, the CSI 300 closed lower by 2.3% as China abandoned its hard growth target. In India, the benchmark repurchase rate was lowered by 50 basis points to 4%. Elsewhere, the Nikkei 225 down 0.8% in Tokyo, Australia's ASX 200 down 1% on the close in Sydney, and South Korea's Kospi down 1.4%. In Singapore, Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. China is pledging to implement the first phase of its trade deal with the U.S. despite setbacks from the coronavirus outbreak and growing tensions. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
Karen, Premier Li Keqiang told an annual gathering of lawmakers in Beijing today, "We will work with the United States to implement the Phase 1 trade agreement." The U.S. and China signed the pact on January 15th and rolled back some tariffs, but the agreement has come under threat as the two nations escalate disputes on a number of fronts. And China's promises to buy more from the U.S., that promise looks out of reach as demand plummets because of the pandemic. President Trump last week said the U.S. would save $500 billion if it cut off ties with China. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Richard Clarida says U.S. policymakers may need to provide the battered economy with additional support beyond the unprecedented actions they've already taken.
And depending on the course the virus takes and the depth and duration of the downturn that it causes, additional support from both monetary and fiscal policies may be called for.
Clarida made the comments in a speech delivered via webcast to New York Association for Business Economics.
Abbott Laboratories says an ongoing study shows that its ID Now COVID-19 test has a high rate of accuracy. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company is attempting to counter a claim by outside doctors that the test may return too many false negatives. In a statement, Abbott said partial data from the company-funded study showed that it accurately detected the virus 94.7% of the time and correctly gave negative results 98.6% of the time. Abbott Lab shares fell last week after researchers at New York University said their independent study had shown that Abbott's desktop printer-sized machine may miss as many as half of positive cases. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. The University of Oxford and AstraZeneca have begun recruiting more than 10,000 subjects for advanced human studies of one of the world's fastest-moving experimental COVID-19 vaccines. The volunteers will be recruited across the UK and will record their reactions in an e-diary and attend some follow-up visits. Some will be given swabs for taking samples at home.
The coronavirus pandemic has led to a record budget deficit in the UK. And Bloomberg's Ewan Potts has more live from our London bureau. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. A budget deficit of £62 billion. The British government borrowed more in April than in any month since records began. As the government spends on an unprecedented package to prevent the collapse of the UK's economy, borrowing last month was more than in the whole of the previous fiscal year. The devastating impact of the virus also on display in retail sales data. That number dropped by 18% in April. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ewan. IBM is the latest tech company to cut jobs in the midst of the pandemic. The company let workers go in at least five states, though IBM didn't give any numbers. One worker who lost his job, though, says the number of positions eliminated is likely to be in the thousands. It's unclear how many of the cuts are caused by the pandemic. IBM has suffered years of falling revenue.
Dell is cutting costs to deal with a weakening global economy. It'll quit making contributions to employees' 401k retirement plans. Dell's also frozen hiring, internal promotions, and raises for the rest of the fiscal year. In a memo, Chief Operating Officer Jeff Clark cited the shrinking spending on information technology. And again, futures are lower this morning, with S&P futures down about 12 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Memorial Day marks the symbolic start of summer with its barbecues, outdoor gatherings with friends, and trips to the beach. But this weekend, with COVID-19 still spreading throughout the U.S., places expecting an increase in outdoor activity issued by social distancing restrictions and capacity limits have experts worried. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Dr. Anthony Fauci talked about how to reopen a city or state.
As you open up, even under normal circumstances and the best of circumstances, you are going to see infections. The critical issue for a successful opening is how effectively you address those blips.
Memorial Day travel is still expected to be a fraction of the previous years. The U.S. Travel Association anticipates consumers will spend just $4.2 billion on travel over the holiday weekend, a third of 2019 levels. More than 94,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID-19. The number of new coronavirus cases in New York is on the downswing, and Governor Andrew Cuomo says it's a promising sign. Cuomo also stressed that not all of New York is ready to reopen.
New COVID cases are down to 246, which is actually lower than we were when this first started.
The New York City area is still under a stay-at-home mandate. However, Mayor Bill de Blasio says all signs point to the first half of June to reopen the city. The mayor also says that food services are improving during this crisis.
By next week, over a million meals will be delivered per day, delivered to people directly per day.
In New Jersey, close to 11,000 people have died from COVID-19. However, Governor Phil Murphy says hospitalizations are down 78% from their peak last month. Murphy had a blunt message for his residents: wear a face mask when going outside, especially during the Memorial Day weekend.
If you think you look silly wearing a face covering, just think how silly you'd look in a hospital gown.
President Trump says the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plans to put out guidance for reopening churches very soon. President Trump decided not to wear a mask during the public part of a tour of a Ford plant in Michigan. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. At the heart of the dispute between baseball owners and players could be an email sent March 26th. New York Post got a copy of it. MLB feels it's a smoking gun that proves the union knew all along about plans to reduce player salaries and signed off on it. Players Association disagrees, not happy with the leaking of the email. Not good. Two sides need to come to an agreement in the next couple of weeks if there's any hope for a 2020 season. The Jets said once the draft is over, they'd try to negotiate a new contract for star safety Jamal Adams. Draft has been over for about a month. No new contract. Talks at an impasse. Adams has stayed away from team meetings. Reportedly, the Jets have spoken with teams about a trade. Well, any other Memorial Day weekend would mean, of course, plenty of baseball. The season would be 2 months in. We'd have the Indy 500. We'd be deep into the NBA and NHL playoffs. Instead, we have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning playing golf Sunday in Florida. Brady with Phil Mickelson, Manning with Tiger Woods. They'll raise money for COVID-19 charity efforts. Speaking of Brady, for two decades, he's tried not to reveal too much about himself, but his production team putting together a 9-part series that will air on ESPN next year. Each part will deal with a Super Bowl that Brady played in with his old team, New England. The 6 wins, the 3 losses. Perhaps Brady motivated by the interest in the recent Michael Jordan documentary, although that was stuff from 30 years ago that games that a generation had not seen. Record ratings for that documentary, averaging 5.5 million viewers. And Chicago Bulls great Scottie Pippen watched it and apparently didn't like it. Pippen said to be livid at Jordan's criticisms of him. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We have earnings from Deere crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Fiscal year net income missing analyst estimates. Futures on Wall Street moving lower. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures lower by 52 points. 10 years up 9.30 seconds. Yield 0.64%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin. COVID-19 impacts your business. Anshin accountants and advisors are here to help navigate the growing relief and resources available to your business. Visit Anshin.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Watching earnings from Deere cross the Bloomberg, it reported second quarter profit and sales that beat analyst estimates, but its forecast for the year missed. It says it sees agriculture and turf equipment sales for the year down 10% to 15%. Futures this morning are moving lower as investors brace for tensions between Washington and Beijing to escalate after China announced plans to impose a national security law on Hong Kong. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 9.30 seconds. Yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 6% on $2.02 at $31.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $14.80 at $17.36.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0897 against the dollar. British pound 1.2176 and the yen is at 107.51. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in the U.S., more than 94,000 people have died from the coronavirus. President Trump says the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plans to put out guidance for reopening churches very soon. British researchers testing an experimental vaccine against COVID-19 are moving into advanced studies and aim to immunize more than 10,000 people to determine if the shot works. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Lee Farage is with us now, head of macro strategy at State Street. Well, after all the optimism for investors around economies reopening, Lee, now we have heightened tensions between the U.S. and China, the possibility of a new confrontation over this push for a national security law in Hong Kong. What's the risk for investments going forward?
Oh, I think the risks, are plentiful. You look at where equity markets are, particularly in the US, and you wouldn't even know there was a pandemic going on. I mean, I think, stocks are virtually unchanged from this time last year. The S&P is up about 3%. Valuations from here are extremely stretched. And of course, it's the Fed response, huge policy stimulus, et cetera. But the economic reality is very much divorced from what we're seeing in market prices. So I think any sort of news like the China news overnight, you're going to get a reaction. Things are going to be vulnerable.
So you're thinking then that investors are putting too much stock in the possibility of a vaccine coming forward or treatments supporting improvements in the health aspect of the rally that we've had in recent weeks?
Yeah, I think there's a different focus. I mean, I think if I look at economists' forecasts, then economists are telling me the vaccine's coming probably mid-next year. The growth next year will bounce back from 2020. But still, the consensus unemployment rate at the end of 2021 is 8%. So the V-shaped recovery is gone. It's more of the Nike swoosh or the tick mark. But then I look at asset prices, in particular, I look at stock prices, and they're saying something different. So there is that dislocation, that they're sort of, seem to be discounting a vaccine soon. So there is a dislocation between what the economists are forecasting and what the market seems to be pricing. And I think that's the bit that concerns me, that dislocation between the two. The market certainly seems to be taking a much more optimistic tone on when we're likely to get a real recovery from this.
Do you expect that dislocation to continue, or what could bring the markets and economists back together?
Yeah, I think the weak side of the equation is probably the markets, in my mind. We're still seeing global numbers going up. Yesterday was the worst day ever for global numbers. We're seeing a bounce back in some U.S. numbers. This is of the virus. And then just the pure economic reality that even as lockdowns are lifted, you're not seeing people rush back. Data from alternative sources, TSA, OpenTable, whichever one you want to use, there are many out there, are showing that even places where lockdowns are lifted, like Germany or some of the states in the U.S., the actual return to activity is much slower than people might have expected. So I think that's going to start playing into the market as well, and I think that's where the vulnerability lies.
Do you see a risk that the tensions that we're now seeing between the U.S. and China start to have an economic toll as well?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a risk. I mean, when markets are priced for perfection, which I feel that equities are right now, any bad news, any tensions anywhere could have the potential to have a significant impact. And, trade war was clearly, top of the agenda before the sort of pandemic arrived and before we got the trade deal last year. Any sort of thought that that's going to return, worsen ahead of the election in November, that can play into it. When markets are priced the way they are, as I said, anything like that can have a significant impact.
Of course, we have a lot of central bank support right now as well. How does that potentially counterbalance some of the headwinds that we're facing?
Well, I mean, that's why we're where we are in terms of equity markets, and in terms of a lot of other asset markets as well, is because of that central bank support. I guess going forward is how much more comes, in the form of QE to directly help asset prices, I think is the big question. Powell has ruled out negative rates. I believe him. I don't think the Fed will go to negative rates. And at the same time, they're winding back on the QE program. We're down at $6 billion a day now, which is still a lot, but it's not $75 billion a day that we were at in March. So it seems to me the focus is going to be more on Main Street rather than Wall Street when it comes to more stimulus, be it fiscal or monetary. And that means that you could see the focus of policy shift, as I say, towards Main Street, and that leaves probably asset prices a bit more vulnerable. If we're going to wind down QE at the time where we're seeing a big explosion in issuance from Treasury, that's a net drain in liquidity from the markets. And again, that's something I'm watching closely the next few weeks, the next month or two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where we go on the fiscal stimulus side, given that lawmakers right now are headed out of town for the holiday. Hope you have a nice holiday as well, Lee. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Lee Farage is head of macro strategy at State Street. And looking at markets on this Friday morning, the Friday before Memorial Day, risk off. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 92. NASDAQ futures lower by 49 points. European indices trending lower as well. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 0.64%. Yield on the 2-year note, 0.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as we head into the long holiday weekend. China has announced plans to impose a national security law on Hong Kong. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Premier Li Keqiang said that China would establish a sound legal system and enforcement mechanism. Now, details are unclear, but a national law could mean an end around to the local legislative process, which has stalled. Li also said the government would push ahead with integrating Hong Kong and southern China. Some opposition lawmakers are saying this is the end of Hong Kong as we know it. Earlier, two U.S. senators introduced legislation to punish Chinese entities involved in enforcing such laws. It would penalize banks that do business with those entities. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. The Hang Seng dropped more than 5% in Hong Kong. The Chinese government is also abandoning its decades-long practice of setting an annual target for economic growth. It will continue to increase stimulus.
China is also pledging to implement the first phase of its trade deal with the U.S. That's despite rising tensions amid the coronavirus outbreak. We get more live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Good morning, Karen. The Chinese premier told an annual gathering of lawmakers in Beijing today, we will work with the United States to implement the Phase 1 trade agreement. The two sides signed the trade pact on January 15th, but the agreement has come under threat. The centerpiece of that deal was China's promise to buy more U.S. goods. But the pandemic means that promise is even farther out of reach. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Britain posted a record budget deficit in April as the government unleashed an unprecedented package to prevent the collapse of the virus-stricken economy.
Here in the U.S., IBM is the latest tech company to cut jobs in the midst of the pandemic. The company let workers go in at least five states. IBM did not give any numbers.
And on the earnings front this morning, Deere posted second quarter earnings and sales about estimates, but it sees its full year net income below forecasts.
Futures this morning moving lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 10 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 46. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32. Yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down more than 6%, down $2.06 at $31.86 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $13.70 at $17.35.60 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is back with us for a check of what else is going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. More than 94,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID-19. It comes as Americans are fleeing weeks of home isolation from beaches, parks, and other leisure destinations over the Memorial Day weekend, and that has pandemic experts and businesses concerned about a spike in coronavirus cases. Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Go out, wear a mask, stay 6 feet away from anyone so you have the physical distancing, and go out, go for a run, go for a walk, go fishing, as long as you're not in a crowd and you're not in a situation where you can physically transmit the virus. And that's what a mask is for, and that's what the physical distance.
The U.S. Travel Association anticipates consumers will spend just $4.2 billion on travel over the holiday weekend, a third of 2019 levels. President Donald Trump traveled to the crucial election battleground state of Michigan to visit a Ford plant. The president says the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plans to put out guidance for reopening churches.
People want to go back to church on Sundays, and our churches want to take care of their parishioners, their people that go to worship. And you're going to see something come out very soon about opening up our churches.
New York City's in the area of a stay-at-home mandate continues. However, Mayor Bill de Blasio says all signs point to the first half of June to reopen the city. In New Jersey, close to 11,000 people have died from COVID-19. However, Governor Phil Murphy says hospitalizations are down 78% from their peak last month. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will review legislation that would impose restrictions on Chinese companies listed on the U.S. stock exchanges, but stopped short of promising a vote. Pelosi also said on Bloomberg she doesn't think the Senate will resist a coronavirus relief bill for long.
This is very unusual that we have such a strong bipartisan advocacy for legislation of this kind, which is meeting resistance in the Senate. But I don't think for long, because what we have in the bill is disciplined, it's focused, it's all necessary.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Nathan. Contract talks between the Jets and their best player, safety Jamal Adams, said to be at an impasse, and they haven't really even talked about money yet. Adams wants a new contract before the 2020 season begins. He points to Christian McCaffrey, who Carolina gave a new deal to, even though he, like Adams, has played only three seasons. The Jets feel there's no rush. They have Adams for at least two more seasons. Then there's the contract dispute between the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott, whose agent denies an NBC report that Prescott turned down 5 years, $175 million, $35 million a year. You might want a shorter deal to get another big contract while still in his prime. Also at odds with the baseball players and owners over the MLB proposal that there be a 50-50 split of revenue for this shortened season with no fans. But how much revenue is there? Union wants to take a close look at the financial books. There's also some pushback to the 67-page draft about health and safety measures. Players feel some things like no showers allowed at the ballpark, perhaps a little over the top. Charity made for TV golf in Florida on Sunday. Tiger Woods will team up with Peyton Manning.
The guy's a stud, unbelievable athlete. So he processes so much information so quickly and is so well prepared. And that's one of the reasons why he was so successful on the football field, and one of the reasons why he's so funny on TV.
Yeah, there figures to be plenty of joking around Sunday. Phil Mickelson, usually good for that too. Mickelson will be playing with Tom Brady. May 22nd, the state in sports history, 1963, a Mickey Mantle home run off the facade at the old Yankee Stadium, believed to have traveled over 560 feet. John Stashower at Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
A coal miner channels its inner Don Draper to find a life after coal. I'm Liam Denning, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Mining coal to power America used to be a growth business, but those days are long gone. So Arch Coal is not only trying to move away from it, it's ditching the word coal entirely. The company will now be known as Arch Resources and focus on coal used in steelmaking. When Arch announced the change, it somehow managed to not use the word coal at all, referring instead to metallurgical products for steel going into things like wind turbines. Arch knows which way the wind is blowing. Thermal coal isn't just a dying business, it's increasingly taboo with ESG investors as climate change threatens the environment, society, and profits. I'm Liam Denning. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
renewable power supplied more than 40% of Britain's electricity during the first quarter of 2020, overtaking fossil fuels as storms battered the UK. Output from wind farms was up by 40%, as severe storms meant Britain experienced the wettest and windiest February on record. According to the Electric Insights report, researched by a team of independent academics from Imperial College in London, the UK's national grid was already struggling to avoid being overloaded by wind and solar, but a drop in demand caused by COVID-19 lockdown measures has made it more difficult. The grid operator has actually asked for more emergency powers to switch off renewable generators if needed to limit supply. The report warns that UK wind generation records are likely to be superseded as two large offshore wind farms are due to come online later this year. The two, combined, are big enough to power 1.5 million homes. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thanks. We continue to watch earnings this morning. Deere & Company came out with second quarter earnings and sales above estimates, but it sees its full year net income below forecasts. Hertz is in a deadlock with a key group of creditors with the clock ticking. The struggling rental car giant faces a deadline today to agree to a deal on missed debt payments. Some investors are confident they'll get their money if Hertz has to file for bankruptcy and is forced to sell cars backing their bonds. Ford is throwing a lifeline to auto parts suppliers facing a cash crunch. It's paying bills early to make sure critically needed parts keep flowing to its factories. The North American auto industry is restarting after a two-month shutdown due to the pandemic that caused a cash flow crisis at many auto parts suppliers. And Nissan reportedly may cut more than 20,000 jobs worldwide. That's according to Japan's Kyodo. It also reports Nissan may reorganize operations in Japan because of falling demand for cars. The company is scheduled to release its new midterm plan next week. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 79, NASDAQ futures down 41. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. China announces a national security law against Hong Kong. How will President Trump respond? Check in next with Greg Valliere of AGF Investments.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at SEIC.com/IMS. We're watching shares of Deere this morning up 1.5% in early trading. It posted better-than-expected quarterly results while delivering annual guidance that missed estimates as the coronavirus pandemic weighs on farmer sentiment and construction. Futures are sliding this morning as investors brace for tensions between the U.S. and Beijing to escalate after China announced plans to impose a national security law on Hong Kong. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 10 points, are down rather, about 10 points. Dow futures down 89, NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 0.64%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 6.6%, down $2.26 at $31.65 a barrel. COMEX gold gaining up 0.9% or $15.10 at $17.37 an ounce. The euro 1.0901 against the dollar. British pound 1.2175, and the yen is at 107.46. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says that a second lockdown won't happen. His own health advisors warn the pandemic could come back this fall, but President Trump says the nation will deal with it without another shutdown. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden remained tight-lipped about his vice presidential search. The former vice president says no one's been vetted yet by the team. The FBI says a shooting at a Texas naval air station that wounded a sailor and left the gunman dead is being investigated as terrorism-related. Officials say the shooting began early yesterday when a gunman tried to speed through a gate at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi in a vehicle and opened fire on security workers. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from the nation's capital include President Trump touring a Ford plant in Michigan with a mask, but not one he wore for cameras. Baltimore's mayor urging the president to stay home rather than visit his lockdown city on Memorial Day. And Joe Biden saying he has no idea who he'll pick for a running mate during an appearance last night on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Also making news this morning, a new front for tensions between the U.S. and China as Beijing pushes a new national security law for Hong Kong. Greg Vallier is back with us this morning, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. It's almost like deja vu this morning, Greg, with China putting pressure on Hong Kong. What kind of pressure does that put on the president to respond?
Quite a bit, Nathan. Good morning. I think that now that they're going after Hong Kong and cracking down on dissent there, that could be the last straw for the West and especially here in the U.S. I think legislation will move to delist Chinese companies on U.S. exchanges that aren't transparent about their ties to the Communist Party. More importantly, I think there's a growing chance that U.S. companies will bring manufacturing back to America, take it out of China.
It's already happening to quite an extent now. What's the potential for that accelerating, and what kind of impact could that have politically?
Yeah, I think we're looking at a presidential election where the two candidates will vow to be tougher than the other on China. I think it'll be a campaign to see who can have the most hostile rhetoric. I mean, we're in a deep freeze here, and I think the deep freeze with China is going to last well into next year.
Well, it's interesting if pressure is put on China, and that raises the risk of an impact on the economic picture going forward, whether that could have a political impact. Do you see that in play at all?
Yes, I do. I think that both candidates are and more importantly, a lot of key members of Congress, like Marco Rubio, are going to be extremely hostile, and they're going to be very open to legislation to curb the Chinese manufacturing power here in the U.S.
Does this take attention away, then, from the president's response to the pandemic itself and the potential impact that that could have on his reelection chances?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, Trump is very talented at finding things to blame, whether it's the WHO or China or the scientists or governors. He'll find plenty of foils. And in my entire career, I've never seen a politician manipulate and bash a foil like Donald Trump.
Let's turn to the veep stakes. Vice President Joe Biden, interestingly, saying last night that that the vetting process hasn't begun. Is that true? I mean, he's got a team put together, and there are a lot of names being bandied about that he could be considering here.
Yeah, there are about a dozen, Nathan. Frankly, I think it's probably going to boil down to two, either Kamala Harris from California or the person who I think is the most likely, Amy Klobuchar, who could help Biden in the upper Midwest. She's a moderate, very well-liked, ran a good campaign. But there are wild cards, and you can't totally rule out Elizabeth Warren.
Well, what other wild cards are you looking at?
Well, I think the wild card du jour, the hot one right now, is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. She'll stand up to Trump. She's very telegenic, very articulate, doesn't have the national exposure, but I think she'll be on the short list.
How important is it for Biden to pick someone who generates excitement among the Democratic electorate? I mean, obviously, Biden has been running his campaign virtually. He says that he doesn't feel like that's hurting him in any way. But is it important for him to pick someone who brings some more attention to his campaign?
Absolutely, Nathan. And I would add someone younger. I mean, he turned 78 right after the election. That's getting up there. Elizabeth Warren, who's a tireless campaigner, turns 71 in a few weeks. I think he has to look at somebody considerably younger.
In the meantime, of course, President Trump is, holding onto the spotlight as he does. He seems to be using a lot of these appearances at factories like the one yesterday as something of a proxy for his campaign rallies. How do you see that strategy going forward?
I think he's really frustrated. He can't get a big crowd like he loves, or at a stadium or an arena. So this is going to have to do for now until we have better news on numbers. But you got to say the numbers of new infections and fatalities have not improved this week. If anything, they've leveled off or gone slightly higher. So I think Trump's ability to get a big, big crowd has diminished. So he'll have events like the one he had yesterday at Ford.
And you got to think that in our last 30 seconds here, Greg, that with the numbers not going down and the president pushing to reopen the economy despite that, that's a pretty big risk going forward.
It is a big risk. And I'd say as this week comes to an end, Nathan, the big political story is that every poll I look at show that Joe Biden has a significant lead.
All right, Greg Valliere, as always, good getting your insights. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Greg Valliere is Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. You can find more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And, of course, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. After starting his career in finance, Jimmy McDonald made a switch to small business entrepreneur. With his wife's staff, they created Authenticity 50, which makes high-quality sheets and bedding. As an internet-based business, they have survived during the pandemic. And Jimmy, tell us what sort of impact you've seen from the outbreak.
Yeah, there has been an impact, and in some ways it's been a positive one because, our message about community and supporting those around us really resonates with people, and we're putting our money where our mouth is in this process, and have been doing it since 2015. So the Made in USA aspect does resonate and has been positive. But there have been challenges. You know, some of our suppliers have had to temporarily close down their businesses due to COVID, and most are now up and running. Several of them have actually shifted pretty much all their production capacity to PPE fabrics, which we're very proud of and glad that they're doing. But it does cause us to be short of product for a little bit, as well as, of course, on the shipping and fulfillment side, where things are just operating slower than normal.
Now, to keep your U.S.-based supply chain intact, you've actually started a campaign. Tell us about that.
We're donating enough fabric to make 100,000 masks that we're going to be sending to the front lines. And we're currently doing a fundraiser because we want to be able to pay for the sewing of these masks. You know, all these masks are sewn by hand. The people who are sewing them need to get paid. The manufacturer needs to be able to keep the lights on. So we're in the progress of this great initiative to try and, while being a small business with only, you know, four or five people, have a huge impact to donating 100,000 masks to frontline healthcare workers.
Jimmy McDonald, owner of Authenticity 50, Made in the USA bedding and towels. Thanks very much. Good to hear a small business story, more upbeat than we're used to in this pandemic. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses and how they're coping and pivoting in the face of COVID-19 outbreak every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And we continue to watch shares of Deere and Company up 1.5% in early trading after it released earnings. They were better than expected, the quarterly results were. It did deliver an annual guidance that missed analyst estimates. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, wishing you a very healthy and happy Memorial Day weekend. This is Bloomberg.